Dear congregation, the theme for the sermon tonight is, I would say, of course, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Three thoughts. First, the awareness of our debts. It is really questionable if we are aware of our debts as we should be. So the awareness of our debts. Secondly, forgive us our debts. The first half of the prayer. Forgive us our debts. And thirdly, the second half of the prayer, as we forgive our debtors. So forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. First, the awareness of our debts. Second, forgive us our debts. And third, as we forgive our debtors. The awareness of our debt. Tonight, we talk about debts. And of course, the cancellation of these debts. When I hear the word debt, I am immediately reminded of the enormous mountains of debt that characterize our modern 21st century society and world. Our society lives far above what they can afford. We live because we have debts. We live in our houses and cars. We have an army as we can have an army because we have debts, 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 and more debts, and increasing debts. Do you know what a national debt is of the United States? Just to give you an example. Any idea of the national debt of the U.S.? $32.5 trillion. I can't imagine what that is, really. I just can't. $32.5 trillion. I can't understand it. It is 1.5 times the gross domestic product, in other words, the economic output of the United States. 1.5 times the total economic output of the United States. Is that amazing? $32.5 trillion. You know what it is per capita? Almost $100,000. So a family of $300,000. Okay, that's the debt from our government. Almost 100,000 per capita. It is the second highest debt per capita of all the countries in the world. That's the United States. And this mountain of debt is only increasing every second. You know with what it increases every second? $45,000. $45,000, $90,000, $135,000. It adds. $45,000 every second. It increases. You know what the average credit card debt is in the United States? The average credit card debt? $7,200. You know what the average household debt is in the United States? $100,000. Well, I can go on and go on and go on. We live because we have debts. Everything we can afford, it's because we have debts, 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 debts. You know, that word debt is eroded in our times. We truly don't understand anymore what debt is. Which government can afford $32.5 trillion debt, dollars debt? It's amazing. It's amazing. And you know, it reveals to us the unbelieving and optimism about the future. Because underlying is the thought that the economy will grow forever. It will increase year after year after year. So no problems. We take more debts. What's the problem with debts? Because next year the economy will have been grown again. In other words, this whole world, not only the United States, it's the same problem with all the Western countries. This whole world actually is focused on an ever-increasing material and financial prosperity. More, more, more. That's what we see here. Here is revealed for us what lives in our hearts and the hearts of our leaders. We want more, more, more. And we don't have any problems with debts as long as we get more. As long as we do well. These amounts of debt I mention may seem chilling. For me, they are chilling. I just can't believe that the United States will ever be able to pay it back. And the same for the Netherlands and Germany, all these countries. It's chilling. But I have another question. Who of us did consider the debts we owe to God? They are far greater. We cannot pay back to God our debt, not in eternity. Eternity is too short to pay debt, to pay back the debt we have to God. And that debt grows day by day, minute by minute, second by second. It is not repayable. Never. We hear in the news all the time about the enormous mountains of debts because there seems to become a little bit more awareness of it and the troubles it may cause in the future. So it is often in the news. But did you ever hear on CNN or the news or in the newspaper, or did you ever read on a website about the unaffordable mountain of debt we have toward God? It far exceeds this 30 and a half trillion US dollars. That debt is frightening. And the silence is also frightening. How blind we are. And amid that world, wherein the word debt is eroded, the meaning of the word debt is eroded. Generally speaking, we don't care about debt. Everybody has debt. Our nation has debts. Everybody. We will recover from it maybe in the future. And in that society that is so silent about our debt toward God, sounds this prayer, a daily prayer from the mouth of all Christians, as a trumpet across this world. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. What a message we have to bring here in this society, a society unaware of what debt is. And we pray daily, forgive us our debt. You know, let's have a little bit closer look to this prayer. It's remarkable that it begins with the word, the conjunction, and. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, this fifth prayer about our debts and the forgiveness of our debts is inseparably linked with the fourth prayer. And the fourth prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, we pray, give us today our daily bread and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. What is the connection between these two prayers? Because there is a connection. There is that word and. Well, both prayers are so necessary for life. That's the connection. We can't without these two prayers. The prayer for bread is mostly, not exclusively, but mostly a prayer for our daily life. our life between cradle and grave. And we acknowledge with a prayer that we depend on God in everything for our daily life. And we beg Him to provide us with the necessary things for our daily life between cradle and grave. In other words, we acknowledge our dependence on Him, our trust in Him for the temporal, for our temporal life, or life between cradle and grave. And the second prayer that is connected with that other one, with that word end, well, it is mainly, not exclusively, but mainly about our eternal life. Because there is no eternal life if our guilt is not removed and our debt is not canceled. There is no eternal life with the debt we owe God. It needs to be canceled. That guilt needs to be removed. Our sins need to be forgiven. Otherwise, there is no eternal life. So actually, it is a prayer for eternal life. A life in peace with God forever. There is a larger than life debt between us and God, and therefore no eternal life. And in this prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, we acknowledge, Lord, we are debtors. Lord, we are poor sinners. Lord, we can never, never pay back what we owe Thee. Please, Lord. It's the only plea. Forgive. Because we can't repay Thee. But there is even a more penetrating connection between these two prayers. The prayer about our daily bread and the forgiveness of our debts. There is a more penetrating connection. What, tell me, is the ground under the prayer, give me today my daily bread? If we have debts toward God, if we have guilt, there is no foundation under that prayer. How can God give us what we need if we owe Him everything, if there are only debts and guilt and sin? There's no reason for Him to give us our daily bread. No way He can bless us when we are guilty and under His wrath. What a prayer it is, right? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What a prayer it is. It takes us, on one hand, to the greatest imaginable depth, the deepest depth of our existence. Deep down in that pit, laden with guilt and sin and debt. And on the other hand, it takes us to the greatest height of God's mercy. Because we pray knowing that He is willing to forgive and wanting to forgive. That's why we pray. So this prayer takes us to the greatest heights of God's grace and mercy. Knowing that He forgives whoever cries out to Him, Lord, forgive. And He's so willing to forgive. In this prayer, the Lord is praised above all. He is so willing and wanting to forgive sinners who can't repay their debt toward Him. And in this prayer, we express, and I hope this is a mirror of your life, you recognize it in your life, we express here our greatest sorrow. Is this our greatest sorrow and pain? There are many sorrows in life. We just prayed for that young life. We prayed for Joe Parmeter. There are so many things to worry about in life. But do we worry about our debt? About our guilt? About our sin? And on the other hand, this prayer is the cause for exceedingly great joy, for the greatest joy there is. God is so willing to forgive our debts. Let's have an even closer look to the prayer. We began with that word end. Well, the prayer itself has two sections, right? We pray, forgive us our debts, the first section, as, still conjunction, we forgive our debtors. Two sections connected with that small word as. Let's first look to that first prayer. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. We are not yet in the second thought, but we are moving to the second thought. Forgive us our debts. We have noticed already that the concept of debt and the true meaning of the word debt is eroded in our times. I think, honestly, we do not understand what it is to have debts. We are so used to it. We exist because we have debts. The whole concept is eroded. We worry far less about our debts than in earlier times, centuries ago. Because debts became part of our life and our society and our nation. We exist because we have debt. And imperceptibly, we are hardly aware of it. This has an influence on reading God's word. When we hear that we have debts, well, we shrug our shoulders. So whatever. What's the case? We all have debts in our life. Our nation has debts, our family has debts, I have debts on my credit card, I have a household debt, I have a debt because I bought a house. So we have debts before God. What's the problem? We just move on living, right? We all have debts and we live on. You see, the whole concept behind debt is eroded. And it has, if we are aware of it or not, it has an influence on our reading and interpretation of the word of God. That is poignant. Because the debt we owe before God is truly a debt to wake up. When we pray, forgive us our debts, it's actually a wake-up call. Oh dear, member of Providence Reformed Church, pastor, elder, deacon, whoever you are, you have a debt toward God, and you can't repay it. Wake up. See what it is that you have a debt before a holy God, your creator, your judge, your king. Many church people, oh, they will rock themselves into sleep, reasoning, okay, I've debts. But we make a sum of it. God gave his son. And his son is a lamb for the sin of the world. I believe in him. I trust him. So my debt is canceled. Do you feel we could make a sum of it? And that's it. Just reasoning in our mind, but it does not live in our heart. It has no influence on our way of living, our attitude. It does not change the course of our life. It's superficial. It's just a sum in our mind. Yes, I am a debtor. But God gave his son to pay for my debts. So I trust it will be okay in the end. Oh, we run the risk of stepping off our debts with a giant step. And this prayer again is a wake up call. And don't forget, we pray it daily. Give us this day our daily bread. It is a daily prayer. So we pray daily, Lord, forgive my debts. We don't ask it once, and forgiven is forgiven, so we don't have any debts anymore. No. This is a prayer prayed by Christians. by believers, by the children of the Lord, by followers of Jesus Christ, and they pray daily, forgive us our debts. It is a wake-up call for Christians, not for the world. For Christians, for believers, for followers of Christ. It's a wake-up call. This prayer is primarily meant for Christians, believers. So we are taught to pray, forgive us our debts. And it's about debts day after day. It's about our debts today. It will be about our debts tomorrow. And the day after tomorrow, and on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. Every day of our life. Forgive us our debts. Daily, by uttering these words, we are exposed to our debts. Daily, because we are prone to forget them. We are so prone to reason with our mind. Oh, everything is okay, my sins are forgiven, so it's okay with me. We are so prone to that. And therefore, the Lord Jesus, he taught us to pray daily, forgive us our debts. It's the Lord who taught us this prayer. It's not your pastor. It's the Lord. The Lord knows that our hearts are deceitful. We deceive ourselves so easily. And he knows that we are prone to step over our sin and guilt because it's so unsettling. It's so uneasy, right? It is far easier to long for that life in joy. It's so unsettling to speak again and again daily about that. But what the Lord does here, he holds us and he lets us stumble over ourselves. He makes us fall that we'd look up to him and expect all from him and become true followers of him. That we learn to rest on his finished work. Not only for our justification and forgiveness of sins, but also for our sanctification and the daily forgiveness of our sins. For both justification and sanctification, we need Christ. It is sola Christus for both of them. It is. And therefore, he let us stumble every day again. That we humble ourselves before that mighty God and acknowledge, I'm your debtor. Even as we are children of the Lord. Well, let's move on to the second thought. Forgive us our debts. We began already with that, right? Because what actually is meant with the word debt? What is meant with the word debt? You can look it up at home, but it is striking that in Luke 11, you also find this same prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, Luke 11. And there in Luke 11, verse 4, we read, forgive us our sins. How true it is. We have debts because we have sins. So in Luke 11, verse 4, it reads, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. There is this immediately connection and link between sins and debt. What do you think of when you think about sins? I think the first thing that comes to mind is breaking the law of the Ten Commandments. And you're right. That's why we read them every Sunday morning. Every Lord's Day morning, we read the law of the Ten Commandments. And then we pray, forgive us our debts. As Christians, right? Forgiven in Christ. And yet we pray daily, forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins. We are declared guilty there. By listening to these Ten Commandments, and especially when we listen to the summary, because we can have a neatly life, an outwardly live according to these Ten Commandments, but it's without love for God and love for our neighbor. And then it's still in vain. Yes, indeed, you're right. We are sinners because we break the Ten Commandments, and there is a lack of true love. But that concept of sin goes far beyond breaking these Ten Commandments. Because the most used word in the Old Testament for sin, to sin, sinning, is chata, and it means missing goal. And our greatest sin is that we miss in our natural life, without grace, without Christ, without the Spirit, that we miss the goal of our life. And what's life's purpose? To love God above all. Now, this is how it was in paradise. Adam and Eve had this full and complete and perfect love toward God. And God walked in that garden day by day. There was love. We come to the purpose or goal of our life when we love God, when we praise Him, when we know that we are dependent on Him, that we trust Him, that we entrust our whole life, all our decisions, all our afflictions, whatever we are going through in life, that we, everything in our life, entrust in God's hand. That's the goal and purpose of our life. But what's practice in our life? That we live to our own honor and glory. That's the natural being. We live to our own glory and honor. Do you agree with me that there is nothing in life that we do not receive from God's hand? Our body, where does it come from? From God. Our energy, where does it come from? From God. The time we have, from God. The possessions we have, our house, our car, whatever, our job, our spouses, our children, our... Just fill it in. It all comes from God's mighty hands. Everything we have, every second of life, every breath of life, every thought, it's all there because God gave it us. Everything we live, we owe to God. And now we begin to understand how guilty we are here. How oftentimes we live our own life without honoring and praising God, and we forget Him day by day by day. And we are accountable to Him for every breath, for every thought, for every deed, for every step, for every expense. For everything we buy, everything, we are accountable to Him. Once He will ask us, what did you do with the time I gave you? What did you do with the income I gave you? What did you do with, and fill it in. And it all comes back to this one question. Was it for His glory? Was it for His praise? Or was it out of love for Him? We are stewards. We are not owners. We tend to think that we are owners. We own a car. We own a house. We own good health and fill it in. But we are just stewards. This is evident in the scripture we just read, Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant. The king spoken thereof in that parable, of course, represents God Himself, the King of Kings, the highest authority, the sovereign one. And that King of Kings has servants. Actually, we all are servants because we are all created by him. And it doesn't matter if we see it, if we acknowledge it, if we live by it. Everybody in the world, Christian or not, who we are, it doesn't matter. We are all servants and stewards of God because we are created by him. And he's our king. Well, here is in the parable that king who has servants. And one day, we read in the parable, that King of Kings makes the final reckoning. And don't forget, once we have to meet God, and he will make the final reckoning. He is our judge. So he's making a final reckoning with his steward. He wants to receive from them what they owe him. And what do they owe him, by the way? Of course, everything they own, because they all received it from the King of Kings. But pay attention to the truly astronomical amount one of those servants owe him. You read in Matthew 18 that servant owes him 10,000 talents. Do you know what that is, 10,000 talents? Well, it is an amount equivalent to the annual wage of 300,000 workers. A year's salary of 300,000 workers. It is astronomical. What this servant owes his master, his Lord. But you know why by now? Everything we receive from the first breath in our life, we owe to God. It is his grace. Every breath we take, every dollar we receive, everything we receive and have and think to owe, it's all a gift from God's hand. It's astronomical, the debt we owe him, because we use it for our own purposes. All these goods, we bring all these goods through in our life. We are all guilty stewards. We do not honor and love God as we should do. Lord, forgive. Here you have our first and greatest cause of our debt, that we miss the goal and the mark of our life. And the second, indeed, let's turn back to that, is that we break the commandments day by day by day. And there is even a third cause for our debts. First of all, we miss the mark and the goal of our life. Second, we break God's values and standards, the Ten Commandments. And thirdly, we are rebels. At times, we rebel. We lead rebellious lives. And at times, let's be honest, we willingly and knowingly sin. We know that we sin, and we continue willingly wanting to going the wrong way. That's rebellion. You see, here are the three reasons for our astronomical debt. Here in this parable, 300,000 yearly wages. It's a triple guilt because there is a triple sin. And God cannot do anything else than pronounce his judgment on this. It's the death penalty, the death sentence. Oh, therefore, please, dear congregation, and I remind myself, let us not step over our debt too fast, too quick. Let us not make that giant step, right? Okay. I confessed my sin. Here, all in our mind, right? I confessed my sin. I know that Jesus Christ died for my sin, so my sins are forgiven, and I can continue. And the Lord tells us, no. Yes, of course it's true. Your sins are forgiven. But as long as you live on earth, and you walk in this world, your feet are getting dirty and filthy. We daily have again our sins, and therefore this daily prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive me all my sins. Forgive our debts. It's what Psalm 32 teaches us. Therefore we have read Psalm 32. It is David. And David is aware that there are sins in his life. There's probably one particular sin here. And we read, when I kept silence, I didn't pray, forgive my debts. He kept silence. He didn't pray this prayer. He kept silent before God. He just continued her life. No repentance. My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. The Lord was against him, and things went wrong in his life. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon him. The Lord was chastising him because there were sins in the way between his God, his heavenly Father, and David. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Take a pause here. Think about it. That's the meaning of Selah. Take a pause here. Think about it. Ponder about it. And then I acknowledged my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. This threefold sin. I said I will confess my transgressions, plural, unto the Lord. And thou forgave. The iniquity of my sin. Selah. Take a pause. Psalm 32 tells us what to do. To go out to the Lord daily in repentance. Forgive us our debts with an attitude of David in Psalm 32. You find the same thing in the parable of the unforgiving servant, Matthew 18. That servant who must pay to his Lord that astronomical amount, 300,000 annual salaries, what does he do? Of course, like David in Psalm 32, he falls on his knees. Of course, and he worships that king and he cries out. And we read Matthew 18, verse 26, Lord, have patience with me. I will repay thee all. He doesn't ask for a cancellation. He asks for a loan. I will repay thee. He tells, Lord, I can't repay you now. But please, make from the debt a loan. Lord, I will do my utmost to pay you back. Make a loan of it. Turn my debt into a loan. And then that Lord, he is inwardly moved with compassion, and he cancels the debt. He canceled it. He doesn't turn it into a loan. He canceled it, not even a loan. To whom do we pray? Forgive us our debts, to the Heavenly Father. In whose name do we pray? In Jesus' name. Because indeed, he is the Lamb of God given for the sin of the world. He is. And daily we're reminded of that. Daily we're reminded of our debts and our threefold sin, our guilt. And daily we are reminded of Jesus Christ. That we cannot begin a day without Jesus Christ. That we cannot continue the day without Jesus Christ. That we cannot end the day with Jesus Christ. Because in him is my justification. And therefore forgiveness of sins and eternal life. In him is my sanctification. Although I am involved in sanctification, in the end, it is grace alone because it is a fruit of the Spirit. I need Christ for everything in life. And therefore this prayer, forgive us our debts. I flee to thee, O Jesus Christ. That word, forgive, comes from a Greek, it's of course a Greek word, and it comes from a word that originally, way back, meant to cast away with power, with strength. That's to forgive.
to cast away with power, with strength. Like these, in ancient Greece, they threw stones and spears. Well, like that. And we ask, Lord, throw away my debts, please. Psalm 103, as far as east is from west, so far are my sins removed. Cast away our debts behind your bank into the sea, well, where they will never again be found and remembered, forgotten. The debt is gone. Well, before we move on shortly to the third and last thought, let us sing a psalter. Psalter 310, Psalm 116, Psalter 310, 310. We'll sing three stanzas, 3, 4, and 5. Stanzas 3, 4, and 5, Psalter 310. What a reason to praise the Lord and to thank him and to give him our whole life. As sure as we pray daily, forgive our debts, he will forgive. That's the reason we pray. And that's precisely the reason that Jesus Christ taught us, pray it daily, that we never stop praising Jesus Christ for his mercies and graces. That's the reason. Forgive us our debts. Receive our thanks. And praises day by day. Well, there is a third thing to consider, the second half of the prayer. A few words about the second half of the prayer. Because we pray and we know what a connection is with the previous prayer, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or, Luke's version, 11 verse 4, we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Well, there is that word, this word, as. How do we read this word, as? Is it a condition? I think we are prone to do that, to think that here is a condition. It's the first thing we think. Well, we forgive our debtors, and as we forgive our debtors, as we lead a good life and do our utmost, the Lord will surely forgive us. Is this indeed the as? You all feel it can't be like that, because I give you the reason. Our forgiveness is never perfect. Only the Lord's, God's forgiveness is perfect. It can't be the case that our forgiveness of our debtors is a condition for God's forgiveness of our debts, because our forgiveness is always imperfect. How then? Let's move back to that parable of the unforgiving or unmerciful servant in Matthew 18, because it makes it immediately clear what this ass is all about. You know, that servant which owed his Lord 300,000 annual salaries, that astronomical amount, was forgiven. His debt was cancelled. He only prayed, it was a true prayer, from the bottom of his heart, "Have patience with me. I will pay thee. I'll turn it into a loan." And the Lord moved. This is the Lord. When we cry out, he is moved with us. He pities us. He pities us. And he cancels the debt. Well, we probably think that this servant is now totally changed in his lifestyle. From now on, he will be as merciful as his master. He will forgive everyone as his master forgave him, right? That's what we think. Of course we think that. When we know of Jesus Christ who died at Calvary's cross for our sins, of course our life changes. But now read the story. The servant leaves the palace, gladdened in his heart, full of joy, and he comes home. And there he comes across a colleague, and that colleague owes him a little thing. 100 pennies. You know what 100 pennies is? It is 100 days' wages of a laborer. 3 months' salary. What is it compared to the 300,000 annual salaries? It's a little thing. It's a nothing. But that servant, just forgiven by his Lord, he becomes angry when he sees his colleague, and he grabs him by his throat and loudly demands, "Give me what you owe me. I can't wait. I need it today." That's what we read in the story. And of course, that colleague, he falls on his feet and begs him. And please be aware that that colleague uses the exactly same words as this servant used before his Lord. Exactly the same words. So he falls to his feet and begs, "Have patience with me. I will pay thee all." Matthew 18, verse 29. The very same words. But what does this servant do? He doesn't listen, and he throws his colleague into prison. Well, the king becomes aware of it. He investigates. And what is in the end his judgment? He demands that that servant, and he canceled right his debt, that he will repay that full debt. The complete amount of 300,000 yearly wages. And which is, of course, impossible to repay. Why? Why do you think that the king is so angry about the behavior of his servant that he demands the full sum to be paid back to him? Why is he so angry? Well, the servant who is forgiven the debt is living at the king's expense. That's the reason. Everything this servant has, every breath, everything, it's a parable. Everything we have, we receive from God's hand. So we live on the king's, on God's expense. He gives it us freely. And now here, this servant wants to get rich and profit at the expense
pens of his king. And this explains why this king is so angry. And the servant, clearly, he doesn't know what that is. And guilt, nor forgiveness. Well, therefore we pray, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. We pray in Jesus' name, when we know about Jesus Christ and that he died for our sins, of course we will forgive our debtors, of course, because all we have received out of God, said we do not owe it. We possess it just temporarily. But it's all a free gift from God's hand. How can we not forgive? It's impossible. We even forgive our enemies, according to Jesus' words. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It is a reminder of the grace in Jesus Christ, and to live as a cross-bearer, to follow him and to show the same grace and mercy in her life out of thankfulness and gratefulness. So we pray daily, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It is such a powerful appeal to love God above all. Forgive us our debts, and our neighbors ourselves, as we forgive our debtors. Dear congregation, notice how the parable ends. There's still something more. With a poignant image that the servant must pay his complete debt, he was cast out actually into prison. We could say, because it's a parable, he was cast out in the outer darkness. That is what we deserve. That is what we deserve. He was cast out. Dear congregation, a tree will be recognized by its fruit. Please, and therefore we read the conjunction, S. It is a call to show God's grace and mercy in our life, to love our neighbor as ourselves, because God loved us so much that he gave his son. It's that call. S. A tree will be recognized by its fruit. If we do not forgive our debtors, we must doubt if we are truly forgiven. If we truly understand our debt, probably it was just a sum in our mind, and we just stepped over it. A giant step, thankful, and life continued. A tree will be recognized by its fruit. What do we have to do daily? As in Psalm 32, confess our debts and our sins before God. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, expect all from him, trust him, depend on him. Come to him with empty hands, that he may fill them with heavenly goods, that we will sing what we read in Psalm 85. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all thy sins. I will praise thee from now on, day by day by day. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for these words that thy Son, Jesus Christ, taught us to pray. What a precious prayer it is. What a lessons are learned there in that prayer. Give us today, this day, our daily bread. Lord, we acknowledge that we need thee for this life here on earth between cradle and the grave, for this temporal life. We acknowledge it. Lord, we depend on thee, but we also trust thee. We trust thy providence.
And we continue to pray, forgive us our debts, because there is day after day, there are new debts, new sins. Our feet are getting dirty, although we are washed with Christ's blood. Oh Lord, that everybody here may know that his sins are forgiven in Christ's blood. That none of us will get lost. And that them who know about this forgiveness will live a different life. In gratitude. In thankfulness, love thee above all and our neighbors ourselves, that we forgive our debtors, and there are many debtors around us, many. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Go with us. Go before us. Give us travel mercies when we have to travel. Give us good days when we are out on vacation. Be the after preacher. Lord, we praise thy name. Thou art such a wonderful God. That thou hearest the cries of poor sinners, and for sure art willing and wanting to forgive. It's thy promise. Thou gave even thy Son. How can we doubt the gift of thy Son? Lord, open our hearts with thy Spirit for this gospel news. Hear our prayer, receive our thanks in the name of thy Son. Amen. Let us sing Psalm 83. Psalter 83. Psalter 83. That's Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Psalter 83. And we'll sing the first and last stanza. Stanzas 1 and 3. Psalter 83. lift up your hearts to God and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.